Well, when you are coming off a 4-12 season, changes are to be made. The Eagles have made some sweeping changes. Obviously, a new coaching staff, remodeled front office, and a roster that has seen quite a bit of change already in this offseason. We welcome into the studio from ESPN, Mr. John Clayton. And John, your sense of just how far, I wonder, the Eagles have to go to get back to the top of the NFC East.
Well, I think it's just a matter of trying to fix up the defense because, I mean, pretty much you look at the offense and it's mostly the same cast of characters. It's the same quarterback and Michael Vick and Shady McCoy in the backfield, the same three receiver set. It's just going to be a different type of offense that Chip Kelly's going to put in. Now it's a matter of trying to get the defense right and the switch to the 3-4. We'll see how that works and see how the cornerbacks fit in there. But I think if, you know, if the defense can get 25% better, then, you know, you look at the talent of this team, and it's clearly it's not a four-win team. I mean, it's a team that, you know, should be much, much better. And so if the defense does well, then things can turn around pretty quickly.
So your feeling, John, is that this team, based on the talent, basically underperformed?
No, I don't think there's any doubt about it because, I mean, first off, I mean, you look at what's been there, particularly on the defensive line. Now, again, I'm not saying that the line was at fault here, but I know when I went to training camp and I looked up and I saw roughly about 6 or 7 pass rushers, you know, when you're trailing as much as they did, you can't take full advantage of that. You look at linebackers, I mean, there's enough highly drafted linebackers that are there, and then you look at the cornerback position that was there for 2 years, and, you know, two good talents, Nnamdi Asamoah obviously struggled, and then Dominic Rogers-Cromartie struggled too. It just didn't seem to come together. You know, part scheme, part performance, part everything else. But I don't think there's any doubt that the team underachieved.
John, there's so much, I guess, mystery and mystique about Chip Kelly. Your feelings, just from being a longtime journalist in the business, watching college football, your opinions of Chip, what he did at Oregon, and how what he did there will translate to the NFL.
Well, I mean, you can see that, and of course, living in Seattle, I got a little bit of a better grasp of it because I'm just, through 2.5-hour drive north of where he coached, and so you know that his scheme is as advanced as you can be, and also it succeeds in the National Football League. All you have to do is look at the New England Patriots, and they borrowed his scheme and put it in, and so it's fast-paced. It really features running on a very quick level. It features a lot of plays. And so from that standpoint, I mean, it's almost like not necessarily a fast no-huddle, but it's almost like the run and shoot type of things that you saw in college basketball, you know, kind of like the Nevada Las Vegas type of stuff where, you know, it's run and get it on a very fast pace. And so now it's a matter of trying to get the players to adapt to that type of training that's going to take, because the one thing that is so good in college about this offense is that by the third and fourth quarters, most teams are gassed. They don't have enough energy to be really hold up, and there's a lot of extra yards in the second half. And so if he can translate that with this roster, you can see the success it's already had in New England. That's the model of what you can see that the Eagles will be able to try to run.
So it's important that Eagles fans understand this. It is a run, it's a run-based offense. I mean, we've had 14 years of throw the football, West Coast offense, set up the run with the throw. You don't think that'll be the case with Chip running this offense if he brings exactly what he used at Oregon to the NFL?
I would think so, yeah, because, I mean, one of the things is it just tries to get the teams off balance with the runs and try to go at a very quick pace. And so with Michael Vick, you know, who did fit in well in the West Coast offense, I mean, I think he'll fit in easily with this offense too, because, I mean, you go back to his Atlanta days, and he certainly was able to run the football back then. But, yeah, it's a little bit more run-based. I mean, it's not ground and pound like the New York Jets wanted to do, because it is a little bit more finesse than it is anything else. But the key to everything is pace. And if the players can adapt to that pace, and I can't see why they couldn't, because, you know, this is still a young roster on offense. I mean, I know Michael Vick's got a little bit of age on him, but also, too, he should be able to do this. So, no, if they can just get the pace right, all you have to do is look at New England. You know, sometimes they can get as many as 90 plays in a game because they're going at the pretty much, you know, like 13 seconds, 23 seconds left on the time clock.
John, the Eagles in free agency really addressed the defense heavily. 9 players added, including a trade for Aurelius Ben, but it was primarily, with the exception of James Casey and Ben, a defensive-oriented approach to free agency. Now, none of these players necessarily stars, Connor Barwin and Patrick Chung and Kerry Williams and Isaac Sopoaga and et cetera. Do you like the approach the Eagles took?
I'm not the biggest fan of making 4-3 conversions in the 3-4 in a tight salary cap age, but just from the standpoint of trying to at least match the 3-4 scheme, you can see that these are the moves that had to be made. Sopoaga is a good nose tackle. In fact, you'll be surprised at his athletic ability. I was at the 49er practice at the Super Bowl because I was the full reporter, and he's really an incredible athlete. He can throw the football on a spiral 60 yards, and he can do it from a high pitch like he was a pitcher, you know, with a high leg kick. And so you can see that even though he's a big guy who can anchor the nose, and you know what he was for lifting at the combine, he was, I think, what did he have, like 48 reps. He's strong, he's physical, and so he's the ideal type of nose tackle to try to plug in there. Now, of course, he'll have to get into play a little bit more because he alternated last year with Ricky Jean Francois. So it all starts in a 3-4 from the nose tackle position. You know, Patrick Chung's a smart safety that I think fits in well, particularly too that he's got a history at Oregon, and then it's a matter to see how the cornerbacks can fit in. I mean, Kerry Williams at times struggled last year, but he's a solid starting cornerback, so he'll have to try to go in there. And Bradley Fletcher is kind of that angular guy that you like from man to man. He just hasn't been consistent in the NFL, so I think it's a good start to go with the roster. Now what's going to be the key is how the defensive linemen can convert to linebackers because, you know, again, these were pretty good put-the-hand-on-the-ground type of pass rushers. Now they have to kind of go out there and drop into coverage at times.
John, last one, draft strategy. Where do you think the Eagles should go or might go or be best served to go with this draft? 9 picks, including the 4th pick overall.
I'd say kind of a balance. I mean, because, you know, some teams go one offense 1 year, defense 1 year. I think that, they've got to try to continue to draft to the top 7. I mean, with safety, it's a good safety draft, so they should be able to get some depth in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th round with that. Then, of course, offensive line to solidify that area because, those are the 3 areas, and I think it fits the areas of this draft, so I think that they can be good. The big thing is with the 9 signings that they had in the trade, there's no urgency as far as trying to reach out and fill needs. They can now kind of take the best athletes at the positions that they would like. And so from that in mind, I think that they can come out of this okay.
So you think there's a chance this team can get back into the mix in the division pretty quickly?
I do because, I mean, there's not a big gap in this division. It's not like, you know, the NFC East is sitting up there like with San Francisco and Seattle, 2 teams that were very good last year that are getting that much better. You know, the Giants are up against the cap. I mean, think about this. I mean, the Eagles, the only team in the division that have a chance to really dabble in free agency. Everybody's got the minimum salary signs all around in the other 3 teams. And so at least Philadelphia, with the talent that they have and what the additions are and whatever Chip's able to do with the offense, you know, should be able to make a dramatic improvement. You know, because when you look at all these teams in this division, you know, they're all like 9-win teams at best. I don't know if Dallas is at that level because, you know, they're starting to get a little bit older. But, no, I think that they could catch up. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to be a favorite to win the division, but I think the gap isn't as big as it was last year.
Hey, John, last one, I promise. Geno Smith, are you a Geno Smith fan? Is he a first-round pick? Is he a franchise quarterback?
He's a first-round pick, but I'm more in that vein. He's toward the, I'd say, in the 20s more than anything else. He's not going to clearly drop that far because of team needs. But there's an inconsistency about him that concerns me. He can make all the throws. There's no question about that. Good enough athlete. I think that's fine. But there's just a little something missing. So you can see it's going to take a little bit of time. And so even though somebody will take him somewhere in the top 10, I'm not sold that he's a top 10 pick.
John Clayton, ESPN, thank you so much for joining us. Good stuff on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks, John.